Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning, people of God. This is Pastor Apostle Keith Williams from Victory Praise Radio Broadcast and my co-host.
I am Veronica Neely Morris, and I'm a proud co-host of the Victory Praise Radio program with Apostle Keith Williams live here in Orlando, Florida.
Amen. Praise God. People of God, we honestly have a great show for you today because, number one, we want everyone to know and everyone listening today, we want you to know that you are victorious. And not only that you are victorious, but you can walk in your victory. Because a lot of times we feel like we don't have the victory, but we do. But now, what are some of the things that we can begin to talk to the people about, Veronica, about victory, the victory that they have in their life? Amen.
I think one of the there's so many things, so many attributes to living a victorious life. But I think first we need to kind of give an idea what living a victorious life look like. For instance, a victorious life, it's about being confident in knowing that God has you. Living a victorious life is a attitude, a position, a stance, a mindset. It's kind of like waking up every morning and putting on your armor and knowing and understanding that you're going to have situations in life, but at the same time, you stand firm on the promises of God. It's an attitude. It's a lifestyle. It's a culture.
My God, my God. And you are so right, because a lot of people really don't understand that they do have the victory. Now there's, man, there are so many things that comes with being victorious and living victorious, but even over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says it like this: "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." Triumph is nothing but victory, being victorious. It's victory. He always causes us to triumph. And why do you think some people feel that they are not victorious in some things that they do? Because a lot of people see stuff happen in their life, and it's like, oh, I don't feel like I'm victorious. Why do you think that they may feel that way?
In my 40-some years walking with the Lord and speaking to many believers and even myself, I think we didn't understand what victorious living was. We thought, or I thought once upon a time, that having a victorious life was an event and not necessarily a lifestyle. When I say an event, you are going to – I thought that when I felt a certain way, that maybe fear gripped my heart for a moment, that deemed me not victorious, and not understanding that living a victorious life is a process. You are going to have some days where you don't feel as strong as a lion. You're going to have some days where you are doubting the promises of God, but that does not deem you as a failure. Living a victorious life is getting up every day, encountering the things that you need to encounter, and having that confidence, even if you're afraid in your flesh, but your spirit man say, I can't go by what I feel like. I can't go by what I see. I have to stand firm and fixed on and in the Word of God. That's the thing. We think it's based on a feeling, because it's not a feeling. It's just like salvation. I don't always feel saved. But it's a knowing, it's a confidence, it's an assurance. It's kind of like the great Simba said, Hakuna Matata, all is well, no worries. I mean, you have to, and I always start like this here, you have to settle that thing before you start. You got to settle it in your mind. It's not a feeling. It is something you got to know. It's a knowing, like that knowing, that assurance inside of us as believers.
And I think a lot of people fail at that because I believe a lot of people think that they can only be victorious if they see the possessions. If they have the possessions right in front of them, they feel the more that they have, the more victorious that they are, which is wrong thinking, because being victorious is not about what you have. It's about who you are in Christ. And then they look at, I don't have the right house. I don't have the right car. These are things that's going to do away with one day. But we're not victorious in what we have. We're victorious in who we have on the inside of us. Victory starts on the inside before we see it on the outside. Praise
Amen.
God.
And if victorious was possessions, you wouldn't have so many people with multitudes of possessions to commit suicide. Just because you mm-hmm. have a lot of stuff does not deem you victorious. Ask a lot of these stars that are wealthy and finances and you know, and all kinds of things, but they're not victorious. Victorious is a like I said, a culture. It's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's the ability to self-discipline, the ability to self-mastery, the ability to know that in order to be victorious, you are going to have some oppositions. But you got to have that attitude, that fixed faith that this too shall pass. You got to know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You also got to know that a weapon or some weapons or a lot of weapons will be formed against you, but it will not mm-hmm. accomplish the thing that it set out to do. You got to be sold on that. That's living a victorious life. My life, mm-hmm. I live a victorious life. Have I gone through trials and tribulations like everybody else? Yes. But I'm victorious in the sense of I made it through and I'm strong and it didn't take me out.
My God. And that's awesome because right then, what people need to realize is that no matter what the storm is, when you go into the storm, don't go into the storm saying, man, I don't know how to deal with this. No, no. You go into the storm seeing the end result. And the only way you're going to do that is go into the storm saying, I win. No matter what happens, I win. I've already won. See, because I truly believe when we do that, God will take our future and invade our now with it. Why? Because he takes victory and invades your now with the victory that he's already given you. So when we go into mm-hmm. that storm, I'm going in praising God because I already know how the end I already know how it's going to end up. You know,
Amen.
We do that,
Amen.
We can see it every time. My God.
It's like John, 1 John 5:4. When I go into a fight, before even in the peace time, I know this one thing, that according to the word of God, that everyone born of God, every believer, overcometh the world, and that there is victory. And there's peace and there's faith in the overcoming. So I don't just wait until I go into the fight. I enter the gate knowing that, you know, one day this peace that I'm experiencing right now and everything is going right, something is going to happen. But I look back on my life and said, been there, did that. And he always brought me through it. And he brings other believers through it, even if we're not aware of it. We didn't get here on our own. We have to look mm-hmm. back and realize, you know what? I am victorious. You have to determine that. No one can tell me that I have a victorious life. I have to know that. I mean, you can point some things mm-hmm. out, but I have to have that settled in my mind. Living a victorious life is getting up every day and dealing with the situations in confidence in mm-hmm. what you're dealing in. Understanding that mm-hmm. it's not an attack because you've fallen away from God necessarily. It's not necessarily because God doesn't love you or you're not in right standing with God, just knowing that it's a part of the process. And I am mm-hmm. going to be victorious over this. Even with this COVID-19, this is just the mm-hmm. process that it is necessary for us to go through. But even in this, I am victorious.
Amen. That's true. And you said the key word, confidence. When we are confident in this thing, so what comes to my mind is 1 Corinthians 15:57. He says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If a person is confident in God, they will be confident in understanding God and already gave me the victory. Even like you say, in this COVID, man, walk through this thing. God has already given me the victory. I don't have to fear this thing because this thing is not from God. So I have the power to bind it because it didn't come from God. Anything that didn't
Amen.
Come from God, you can bind that thing because it didn't come from him. Same thing Jesus did with the storm. He binded the storm. He calmed the sea, and there was a great calm. We have to understand that we have the authority to bring peace in our life because we can speak it into existence because you're already victorious over it.
Amen.
God,
Amen. And you have to go into it thinking like this. Listen. I don't understand COVID 100%. All I know is God is going to bring us through it. And if he doesn't, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So either way, I win.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go in with
mm-hmm.
that attitude. Understanding
mm-hmm.
we want to come through it and we want to see the other side. But either way, God is going to deliver us through it or he's going to take us to glory. But it's a win-win situation. And I stand on that in all areas of my life. It is what it is. This is a part of the process, but I am still victorious in this.
My God.
I'm conquering. I'm a champion.
Come on. At all times. And there may be some people listening to us right now, and they may be saying, well, they done already been through all this, so they good. They know what they're doing and all this stuff, so they don't have no issues. But the thing is this: God, no matter what happens in your life, Psalms 34:19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all." So no matter what
Amen.
I've been through in the past, I still got some other storms to go through now. And when
wow.
I go through those storms, the storm from the past has prepared me for the storms in the future, but the storm in the future can't touch me because I done been trained in the past for my future. So what
Amen.
Can happen if you done been trained for it already? It can't stop you. My God. It can't stop you. Nothing can stop you when you've been prepared for the storm. I've always been trained under my pastor. He always say, don't train when you get into the fire. You need to train before you get there. You need to know what you
Amen.
Need to do before you get into that fight. Don't you dare try to train yourself when you see it. No. You need to already know what to do. Praise God. Bad.
Amen.
This is awesome.
And we have to take that stance. You know, I think there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about finally. That's what we have to resolve. Finally,
mm-hmm.
be strong
mm-hmm.
in the Lord and his mighty power. If we're in him, he's in us. We too have that mighty power to endure whatever
mm-hmm.
our endurance is required. I mean, my journey and your journey and everybody's journey is different, but I believe God equips each individual with the strength to do what they need to do. Many people couldn't have gone through what I went through. I probably could not have gone through what you've experienced, but God prepared
Jesus.
Me, my body, my strength, my everything to endure what I needed to endure. Not necessarily God ordained, but he'll take that bad thing and turn it into something good. I am who I am today because of the things that I went through. I am confident in the word of God because it has been tried, proven, and tested in my life. I've had oppositions just like everybody else. We still have opposition, but I'm still fixed on this one thing. God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he would have to repent, but I can stand firm on his word. But you got to know his word. You can't stand
on
someone else's word. You have to know what your rights and privileges are as it relates to a blood-bought Christian.
Wow. I like that. And that is so true because you can't ride on somebody else's victories. You know, you have to know God for yourself. You are absolutely right. And I think that's where a lot of people miss it because, it's like churches some people go to. They know that they're not supposed to be in that church, But they're going there because mama and them went there, grandmama and them went there, great-great-grandmama and them went there, and they're there, and they're not understanding, they're not learning, they're not getting it. What's happening to their life? You being shift as wheat. Why? Because you're not getting it. You're only there because you're trying to ride off of something that mama and them did and great-great-great-grandmama and them did. What is that going to accomplish in your life? I mean, let's be real. I mean, you have to know. You have to get the word all the time. And I tell people, if you go to church and you leave the church the same way you went, it's time to take inventory, because you should never go to church and leave the same way and no knowledge has been given to you. Something's wrong with that picture.
Absolutely. And, you know, I look at church like this, and all due respect to all the churches and so forth. I look at churches as, for instance, you can have a pastor that's anointed to teach first grades, and they are awesome. You can have a ministry that's anointed to teach fifth grade, and they're awesome. But when that, you get to the point that you're college level, there's nothing wrong with the first grade teacher or the fifth grade teacher. But it comes a point in time where you need to eventually graduate. I think the Bible says something about we've been taught, now we need to be teachers. So many believers are waiting for a human to put their hands on them and say, God called you. We got so much word inside of us that we're constipated. The word does no good if we don't put it out and apply it to our lives. So I think there are so many different churches that are doing so many awesome things, but I can't be in first grade. Not to brag on those, but I am at the college level because I study at home, and I know my ABCs already. So I will be bored if I'm in a ministry that's teaching ABCs. Now, don't misunderstand me, anointed to do such thing, but I know that I need a little bit more than my ABCs.
My God, that is so true. I need to know more than that, because when you, it's like when you get into a battle, you can't count your ABCs when you get there. You got to already know this thing.
Well, Pastor, you actually can as you're getting the life beat out of you, because the things that we go through in life, I mean, because the devil knows the ABCs. You got to know how to rightly divide the word of truth. I can't tell you once a week, once a month. I have to stand on the word of God. I have to silence the voices in my head and say, not today. Because I understand tomorrow is not promised to me, and today is a present. And I understand that according to the word of God, because I study the word, that he's giving me what I need for today. So I have to stand on what's going on today, because tomorrow will take care of itself. But today, this ain't happening. I have these conversations with myself. No, not today, devil. I am fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I can go down the line, because I've made these scriptures my own. They're not just words on a page. There's power in even saying them. That's living a life, or a victorious life.
Amen. It is. And we can speak those things that we want to see become what we want. You know, I'll give you an example. We, I'll give you two examples. We had my wife last week. She came home from work, because right now they only have her working one day a week. And she said, but I'm good with that. She said, I'm fine. And so she came home from work, and she laid down, and I saw that, you know, there was something going on. And I said, well, baby, what's wrong? And she said, I got a headache. She said, my head is hurting. I just want to lay here for a minute. And I said, oh, no, not today, devil. Not today. So all I did was lay my hand on her head, and I rebuked the headache, turned around, and I went back in the room. So I came back out of the room. She was sleeping. And about an hour later, I came back out of the room again. She was up watching television. I said, well, baby, how's your head? She said, oh, I'm fine. I said, no more headaches? She said, uh-uh. She said, it left when you prayed. See, that's what I'm saying right there, is that when you have victory, man, you can speak to stuff and it has to obey you, because you're speaking out of the will and the power and the authority of God, not ourselves. We can't do it, but God does. Then my daughter called. On Thursday morning, my daughter called, and she said, I can't find my keys, and she needed to go somewhere, and her and my grandson was at the house, and she said, I can't find my keys, and this was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. She had been looking for them all day, and she said, I don't know what to do. I can't find my keys. So my wife said, okay, we'll be over there. So me and my wife gets over there, and as soon as we walk through the door, she say, you know what? God say, speak and command. I'm commanding these keys. You're going to show up right now, and I command you to show up right now in the name of Jesus. I ain't got time for this. You show yourself right now. And I went to this chair, and I hit the button, and the chair came out, and my daughter say, I hear some keys. And my grandson looked down and looked up under the chair, and he said, oh, there go the keys right there. And my wife said, see, I told you it works. If you, it's going to happen just like you say. That's how we know that we're walking a victorious life, man. My God.
Absolutely. And, you know, years ago, I would have made fun of something like that because I didn't know any better. Because we think things like that are just silly. I mean, why would you pray for keys? Listen, the Bible tells us to say what we want and mean what we say. If your keys is lost and you continue to say your keys is lost, then it will be lost because there's power in your words. I've learned how to say if I had an ache in my body, and this is the truth. Now, I don't know what's going on with this body, but you need to line up. And I promise you, every blood test, every exam that I've taken at the up until the age of 53, all my test results are positive and there's nothing going on in my body. Because it's like, wait a minute, now I know I need to cut down on coffee, but right now you need to straighten yourself out. We are not going to have this. I have work to do. You have to command your world. And the thing is, we have the ability to do that. You know, last week, and until last week, I really did not believe, or I really couldn't say that I 100% believed that we had an angel that followed us all the time. So I asked a question, and I began to study it, and I'm not 100, still not today, but I'm at least 98. Can you imagine when I do settle that in my mind, that I have an angel following me? I'm already dangerous when it comes down to faith comes down to doing the things that God has called me to do. But when I really wrap my mind around that I got an angel hanging out with me 24/7, oh, man, watch out. And I honestly say that because we have to own the word for ourselves in order to live a victorious life. I know so many Christians that when you talk to them, that's always doom and gloom, and it's going to always be doom and gloom because that's all they talk about. I have people that we talked about this morning that I can't even talk to in the morning because they'll, you know, I need somebody to set my morning. But if you're calling me with always issues and situations, it's like, girl, how long you been saved? And you still speak. Well, I'm just telling the truth. The Bible didn't tell us. It says speak those things that are not as though they are. So if you keep talking gloom and doom, that's what you're going to call into your life. I believe in the law of attraction. I believe in the universe, which God created, sends us what we ask for. And we got to renew our mind. That's a part of living a victorious life. The Bible tells us how to do that. We have to cast down every imagination and thought that does not line up with truth. God is not going to do that for us. We have to do it. We talked about this on the show before, that Jesus Christ is sitting on the right-hand side of the Father. He ain't getting up. His job is finished. But he has given us the authority to get the work done and to live a victorious life. People are watching us. I can't tell you how many people, my coworkers, will say, oh, girl, they're doing this right here. And I said, listen, it's the same God that protected me in 2019. It's the same God. Nothing has changed. This is a part of the process. You can't call me every day with this negativity. I'm standing on the word of God. That's living a victorious life, not a life without problems. Because when we first got saved, we were told that once you get saved, no worries, that we were going to just float up to heaven. That was a lie.
Big time. Big time. And that's the thing. People are talking the problem instead of commanding the problem to leave. You know, when we, just like you say, when we keep talking about how bad it is, we're opening a door. And that door now is saturating your heart of how bad it is. So God Amen. Gave us the authority to speak that thing out of our life. And he gave us two things to do that. Boy, you just opened the door, man. He gave us two things to do that. He says in Psalms 8 and 5, he says, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels," which was Jesus, "and has crowned him with glory and honor." So glory is to, excuse me, glory is to anointing. Honor Amen. Is to position. He has crowned him. If he's crowned him with anointing and position, guess where that lives if Jesus lives in us? He's crowned us Amen. With anointing and position to do what he said in his words. My God. We hold the keys now. Because remember, God said to Jesus, he says, "Sit thee here on my right hand while I make your enemies your footstool." What was he really saying? He was saying this. Where is your foot on your body? Your foot is not on your head. It's not on your arms. It's down at the bottom of your body. So if your foot has a footstool on the devil's head, where is the devil against you? Under your feet. So why am I bringing him up? By creating problems. He's under your feet. He can't do nothing to you if your feet is on his head. We won't prosper until we get a revelation of this. Satan is under your feet. He can't do nothing Amen. To you unless you allow him to do it, because he's under your feet. My God.
And, you know, not only is he under our feet, some of us are afraid to move out of that position because we think when we move, he's going to come from underneath our feet. But the Bible says that the righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord. So you have mm-hmm. to know, and don't focus so much on the position of the devil. He knows his Come position. On. It's how am I positioned? I am in right standing with God.
Come
that
on.
Is what we have to understand, that I'm positionally in right standing with God. And it's important that we understand that, because it's not because of the works, my works. It is because of what Jesus Christ did for me. It makes me in right position, meaning I can go to him boldly to say, "God, I don't understand the situation. Give me peace in this situation," or command your peace. I can't tell you on a day-to-day basis everything is going great and then all of a sudden you feel some kind of way. You have to rebuke that thing. The devil is a liar. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Now, I don't know what's going on, and I don't feel, but I rebuke it that anything, Lord, you put a shield around me. You protect me, Father God. And if you continue to do that, I promise you, your spirit will be lifted. And you walk around. You know what? One of my favorite movies is was it Shawshank Redemption? And I love Mr. Dufresne, the way he walk around in that prison like he's free.
Mm-hmm.
You have to walk around in whatever situation that you're going through like you're free. You literally have to stroll through life like, listen, no weapon formed against. I'm not trying to be arrogant. Or I'm no special than anybody else as it relates to God's children. But I know what I know that I know simply because of the things that I've gone through and God has brought me through. I have the confidence in knowing that he hears me and he will answer. And I just have to walk around until I can see it manifested in the natural. I really do believe that. You know, I'm not just saying this because I'm on the radio show. People that know me, I really do believe that. So many things that God has shown me in my life that I can now see it and other people can see it. If I shared it, it would sound like I'm bragging. But God is awesome. And I take him at his word.
My
that's
God.
Living a victorious
and that's
life.
What we have to do. We have to get that word, man, because once we get that word, you know, the scripture says over in Acts 17, "For in him we live, move, and have our being." We cannot do that if we don't have the word on the inside of us. People are trying to live without the word. You know, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Because right now, what we see in this world, this world has become a wilderness, okay? I mean, just plain and simple. The world has become a wilderness. Satan did that when he fell from heaven. He turned He turned the world into a wilderness, weakening the nations, according to Isaiah. This is what he did. But now we are here to turn it back to the Garden of Eden, because Satan cannot control the earth because he doesn't own it. We do. So he can't control the earth, but he can control the world. That's what he's that's what he's doing right now, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4. So if we have Christ on the inside of us, like you said, man, we can walk in so much victory. Everything has already happened. All we got to do is say, God, it's already done. In every situation that we get into, all we got to do is, Lord, it's already done. Every time you turn on the television, and people, if you think about this, every time you turn on television, one thing that you're always seeing is medication. They want to medicate you. They got medication for this, medication for that, medication. What is Satan doing? He's painting a picture. He's painting a picture, because if he can get you to feel like your spirit is sick, your body is sick,
Amen.
You'll never be healed.
Amen.
You'll never be healed.
Amen.
So he's
absolutely.
My God.
Listen, as it relates to medication, I struggle with anxiety for probably most of my life until maybe about the last 10 years. And I didn't know what it was. It was post-traumatic stress syndrome due to some things that I had gone through. And if I heard a noise, inside of me would feel like hamburger grinding, but I couldn't explain it. And if I could have put my hand on some medication, I would have been an addict today, because you would do anything to calm those. It's like somebody gnawing inside of you, and you can't really even explain it. But I remember saying to God, I want to know what normal feels like, and if you let me taste it, if you give me a day of rest, I'll run after it. And I'm telling you, one day I woke up and I realized I didn't have anxiety again. Now, I've never taken any medication for anxiety other than years ago I drank a bottle of NyQuil every night trying to go to sleep, but it wasn't for the anxiety. I didn't know what it was. But I don't have anxiety anymore. Now, every blue moon, does it try to bring its head up? Yes. Let me tell you what I do. Not the day, devil. I don't have to have a long conversation. The devil know I know my rights. I was delivered from that, and it immediately disappears. And this is not a fight I have every day. This is every blue moon, and I chuckle and say, did you not forget? I was delivered from that, set free, no more struggling in that area. Not today, because I understand my position. God said that he will give me the sustenance, the stuff that I need for today. I can't worry about tomorrow once again, because tomorrow is not promised. If I make good decisions and set my mind and fix my mind to live a victorious life today, tomorrow takes care of itself. It sounds so simple, but I promise you it works.
My God. And I believe this is why we have in this world right now, and we have these commercials, all these psychics popping up over here, popping up over there, because I truly believe people are at a point to where, instead of getting it from where they're supposed to get the word from, let me go over here to this psychic where I can pay her or I can pay him to tell me about my life. And it's like you try. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but through him. So now I'm trying to get it a different way. And now the world is wondering, what is the world going on? What is the world coming to? What is coming to is you have denied the faith for so long that God is saying,
Amen.
I'm revealing to you what my scripture really says. I'm opening the book, the same book Jesus spoke from, in Luke 4:18, when he closed the book, that same book has been reopened. And God is saying, I'm showing you who I truly am. But the righteous
Amen.
Knows who he is, and they walk in his victory. They walk victorious.
Amen.
Why? Because I understand who he is. If I need an answer, where am I going? I'm going straight to God. If I need to know something, where am I going? I'm going straight to God. I don't need no psychic. All I need to do is go to
Amen.
God. So
and you think about it. How foolish is it to go to a psychic? You go to a psychic, and then you come back and say, I just paid $75, and everything they said about me was true. You already knew that.
Come on.
So you're going to pay somebody. I mean, if we really just sit down and simplify everything instead of complicating, you're going to pay somebody $75 or more to tell you what you already know. That
Come
just
on.
Doesn't make sense. We go to psychics because we want a quick answer. 99.9% of the time, you already know what you need to do and you know why you're in that situation. And most psychics, I mean, I haven't heard of a psychic that came about and said, hey, why are you charging $5? There's one, I actually have a patient who's a psychic, and she has specials that's $5 a reading. So I asked her, and this is very true, why don't you tell yourself what the lottery number is instead of charging $5 per session and waiting on clients? You know what she said? She said it doesn't work like that. A psychic reading, according to her, comes true when you believe it. Isn't that just faith?
Come on now. Come on now.
And a lot of times people are going outside of the church because, number one, they got a wrong understanding what the church is all about. It is not up to the pastor to prophesy in your life on a daily basis. That is your responsibility to say what God said about you. We're not understanding what this victorious living is all about. It's a part of the process. The devil didn't come take your car. You didn't make the car payment. That's it. The devil didn't steal your health. You ate a lot of sweets. I had a patient that many, many years ago who had major health challenges, and she was a diabetic and so forth, and she ended up leaving this world, not because of the medication, not because of the devil. It's because she would not stop eating tons and tons of sweets. That wasn't an attack of the enemy. That was because you were not self-disciplined, or we didn't self-mastery. We're looking for a pastor, a preacher, a counselor, a life coach to do for us something that we won't do for ourselves. If you're going to live a victorious life, it is up to you to do the things that's necessary to do. It's not always easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But living a victorious life is a life of confidence, a life of assurance, a life of knowing. It's not a one-time event. It is a lifestyle, a culture.
Come on. Come on. That's what it is. You know, it's a lifestyle. And people think it's just a one-time thing. And, you know, and people don't realize that it's your words that you speak can pull you out of your victory. It can cause things to happen in your life that you really don't want to happen. You know, I was talking to someone one time, and their son, the lady's son had died, and the lady was a friend of this person. And when the son had died, they were blaming God for the son passing away. And, you know, and the son, yes, he was doing some crazy stuff, but then he started getting his life back on track. And he slipped sometimes, but then after the boy died, they went and sought with the parents, and come to find out, the mother kept saying, I wish God just take him and he die. I wish God just take him and he die. And when he heard that, he say, ma'am, God did what you kept saying. You spoke that up. See, people got to understand, your words you say, the words you say come from your mouth, it will become evident. And you'll see exactly what you're saying. She kept speaking. And later on, she realized she did it to herself because of the words that she spoke.
You just said, and one thing I'm going to emphasize, you said the words that we speak become evident with our life. It is so important that we understand that. Not the word that I'm speaking today, but what I've been speaking yesterday, the day before. My life is that. We have to start changing our conversation so that we can change. We can turn that curve as it relates to our life and living victoriously. We got to begin to say what the word says, but the issue is we don't know the word. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people pray. And they didn't pray the word, they pray a song. It sounded great and powerful because it was one of the songs that I liked. But they would sing, they would pray a song, but it had no power behind it. You have to make this word your own. And the only time you can do that, you got to spend time with it. It is not listening to the radio show. It's not going to church. It's about taken what you've gotten from the radio show, what you've gotten from Sunday, Thursday, whatever day you have service on, and apply it to your everyday life. It's like John 16:32 or 33. It says that we have comfort, we have peace, we can have peace in this world. And this world is the world that we're living in. But the Bible says that we are in the world, but not of the world. I understand that. I don't care what's going on around me. And not that I'm being selfish, but God said, according to my faith, even, and I think I shared this when I prayed for my daughter one time. I know that a lot of mothers and fathers who love their children lost their loved one, and that's terrible. Mm-hmm. But that ain't have nothing to do with me at that point in time. It is me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You said, according to my faith, be it unto me. You said to tell you what I want and desire as it relates to this situation. I didn't pray God's will because his will says that I can pray according to what I desire. And I said, God, I want you to heal or kill. It wasn't nothing deep, just that simple. The person that went into the hospital, I want that same person. Because honestly, I didn't want a life sentence, and I know this may sound mean, of going to a nursing home and she don't even know I'm there. I was honest with God. Was it the most difficult thing in my life? Yes. But God brought her through. And I stand on that. I even have pictures that I keep in my phone. And anytime I struggle, I say, God, been there, did that. My life today is so awesome. I still pinch myself, not because of I'm any special than anybody else, even though I'm God's favorite. It's because I spoke my world in existence. God gave me the authority, and I used it. That's what victorious living is all about, being confident in the promises of God, knowing what your promises and your rights are. When you get saved, all of that is a part of the salvation package. You got to know that.
My God. Damn, that's so true. That's so true, and because what you're speaking now is coming from Psalms 107:19-20, and he says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. That's what you did. And he says, and he saveth them out of their distress. Saveth means he delivered them out of it. Verse 20 says, he sent his word. His word was the word coming from you. You connected with his word. He says he sent his word and healed them. The word came from you, was nothing but his word, and his word had to, he says, and delivered them from their destructions. His word had to deliver what you were saying because it was backed by faith. My God, it was bad.
And if it didn't deliver, the word of God says that if one jot or one tittle or one word refuses to do what he said he was going to do, he'll shut this whole world down. Isn't that powerful?
Come on.
To be able to stand on that. So that if it refused to do what I said, I'll shut it down. It's like, can you imagine a God that's so awesome that he can just shut the world down? I'm not talking about shutting down businesses, but shut it all down. But we got to know that. And another thing we have to know is that our words are never unemployed. You can't just say something and think it just drops to the ground unless you go back and get that word and cast it out. But our words are never unemployed, and we have to know that. So to just go around and say, oh, she make me sick. Okay, why? Well, I got a headache today. I don't feel right. Well, you said it.
Come on.
I know that sounds so silly, but it is so true. The Bible says it is the small foxes that kill the vine. We got to take inventory on our conversation that we're having with ourselves and what we're having with other people. It's sometimes I'll just say, well, I disagree with that. I don't agree with that. I don't certain things I just won't let come to my ear gate because I know what it could do to me. There are certain songs I will not sing. I will not sing songs like, I'm climbing up on the mountain. God, give me the strength to climb. Don't move my mountain.
Come
no,
on.
My Bible told me because I know the word, speak to the mountain. I ain't climbing no mountain today.
I ain't got time for that.
Now, I ain't mad if you climb it and you brag about your muscles. No, I'm just going to speak to it. Knock yourself out, girl.
I'm telling you. Climb it.
But you got to be that crazy in knowing that the word works.
That's true. That is so true. because that's the thing. People make the word hard and difficult. It's not. It's simple. He says, if you do it this way, I'm going to do it over here. But the problem is, when they speak it, they don't believe what they say. They speak it, but then the minute that they see a problem, an issue, now they are doubting what they just said. And remember, doubt is the beginning of fear. And God is saying,
Amen.
You cannot doubt when you see stuff happen. But when you see, just like you saw, when you saw stuff happening, no, not today, devil, not today. We've got to begin to bind that thing out of our life because it is not so. Fear, the word fear simply means false evidence appearing real. Everything Satan brings up to you, it is not real. He wants you to connect to it. And the minute you connect
Amen.
To it, now your victory gone. Because now I'm
Amen.
Focusing on the storm and not the word of God.
Amen.
God, my God.
And that
wow.
is so true. That's the word. And when you work the word works.
Every time. Every time.
Amen.
Because God wants to give us his grace. In 2 Peter 1, this is what God wants to do with us over in 2 Peter 1 and verse 2. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. That's important right there. We cannot see grace is his favor. Peace is his rest. And God is saying you can't get either one if you're not in the knowledge of him. My
Amen.
God. And that's what you're talking
Amen.
About. How can I do if I don't know? My God.
Amen. And to know better is to do better.
It's to do better. You are so right. My God. Man, I love this. I love it because, the people may think, well, they just saying stuff. No. Whenever a person teach the word of God, When you're teaching the word, you are teaching through your experiences. A lot of stuff we teach, we can teach it effectively because I done been through it. I done been through it.
Amen.
But when you have somebody teaching somebody else's word, you have not proven what you're trying to teach. That's why it's not effective, because you haven't proven it. And it's just like titles. If you take on a title and you have not proven that title, guess what? All the attacks that comes with that title, you just bought it in your life and against your family because you're trying to do
Amen.
Something you weren't called to do.
Amen. It's like a person going to school to be a cosmetologist and never did hair at home. What makes a good cosmetologist is that person that's been doing hair since they were 16. They done beaded your child's hair and they just happen to get licensed. Or a mechanic. There's a mechanic in our hometown that he's been working on cars since I was a kid. He has his own shop now. I'll take my car to, we used to call him a grease monkey. I'll take my car to his shop because I know that he was doing that before he got licensed. When it's called to be a minister, you minister or you're doing ministry before you get that title. As a matter of fact, I don't like titles. I don't like titles for me. I'd rather just do the work and, titles. I've seen people that says, well, I'm a teacher, I'm a minister, I'm a this and that, and they walk around with the title, but they don't have the fruit of that title. I would rather demonstrate the fruit and then perhaps get a title somewhere down the line. I mean, I remember when I was teaching in this church, and I absolutely loved teaching. I was teaching on speaking in tongues, and I remember sharing this with the man of God and also with the Lord and saying I didn't feel comfortable speaking in tongues teaching about speaking in tongues because I had never spoken in tongues. And I grew up in my Pentecostal world, and I thank God for my roots, understanding that if you did not speak in tongues, you were not saved. But that just didn't settle in my mind because I realized, how do I get part of salvation and not the whole thing? It's almost like getting water, but you have to wait for wet. I begin to understand that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you got the total package. It was all a part of that package. So in the process of me speaking in tongues, in the process of me teaching in tongues, I told the pastor that I was not comfortable teaching that because I didn't believe what I was saying. And it wasn't until God gave me my heavenly language, or I accepted it and I settled that it was real, that I could teach it with authority, that I could say, no, it does not mean that you're not saved because you're not speaking in tongues. You have that gift. You have to accept it and use it. But I was very uncomfortable teaching that because I knew I was saved even before I spoke in tongues, so it didn't add up. But I understand the power of your heavenly language now.
Amen. Because
it's
that's a true thing. That is a true thing. And if people can understand, and I'm glad you touched on that, because in the kingdom of God, in heaven, heaven does not speak with this voice that we have. How does heaven communicate? It is in their heavenly language. The same tongues you're speaking with, this was spoken in heaven. That's how heaven operates. Our natural voice is only for earth, not for the kingdom. That's why he said pray in your heavenly language. That's what's spoken in the kingdom. So now when Jesus said bring the kingdom of God on earth, that's one of the tools he's saying. You have your heavenly language on earth. But now the heavenly language comes through the Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ, we got all three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's already inside
what you
of
say?
Us. Come on now. And we begin to speak what's in us coming out of us. That's the Holy Spirit. I'm glad you touched bases on that because a lot of people don't understand that one right there.
And I didn't understand it. It was when I decided that maybe it is true. And then when I had a conversation with the Lord and said, God, if it's true, I really want it because I want everything that belongs to me. And I began to say, God, situations happened in life. And I really realized that I wanted to pray an effective prayer. I didn't want to waste my words. I began to say, God, I don't know how to pray about this situation, but I want to have confidence that the thing that I'm praying, that it lines up totally with your word. And that's when I stopped trying to figure it out and just allowed my heavenly language to come through me. And again, it doesn't sound fancy or anything like that, but I'm telling you, when you're finished speaking in your heavenly language, and you can go on for hours, you feel like you touched heaven and you have that assurance that it's going to be okay. Now, I don't know what I said, but whatever I said, there's a rest in me. You can't explain this. You have to experience it.
That's true. That's true. And how God got me to see that was we were on vacation once. And, you know, the whole family, we were at a house. Matter of fact, in Orlando. And because we always come there to vacation. And the kids were in the pool, and my my nephew at that time, he was about 3 years old, so his mom would not let him get in the pool. She said, no, no, not today, because I think he had a little cold or something. So the other kids, I mean, man, they were diving. They were doing some of everything in the pool, and he was just hollering. He wanted to get in the pool. So his brother came up to the side of the pool, and his brother just took water, and he splashed it on him. And, man, he was so excited, he felt like he was in the water. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me then, and he said, that is the life of some people. He said, it is some people have an experience with God, and they think that they have it, but they don't. But he said, but now when your life is changed, you have an encounter with God. The encounter was when you jump in that water, you got the full encounter of the water. You soaked from head to toe. But when he threw the water on him, he got an experience of the water, but he didn't have an encounter. And God said, that's the life of some people. They're getting pieces and not the whole thing to get a full encounter of who he truly is. And when they do that, man, they're going to experience everything that God has. When you have a full encounter with God, and it takes spending time with God in his presence, just like you said. My God.
Amen.
My God.
This reminds me of one of the songs we used to sing back in the day, This Is Just a Rehearsal. Remember that song? In essence, what that song meant is that you're not going to experience the full totality of your salvation here on the earth, which is not true. That song said to me that we got to wait till we get the glory to get our house and our peace and our joy. In this earth, all we got to do is struggle. That was like just that water being poured on that kid. This is not a rehearsal. We're supposed to live the life like it is in heaven on earth now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know what it's going to be like in heaven. I'm not in a hurry to get to heaven. I hope you let me be on the show next week. But I'm not in a hurry to get to heaven.
Come on.
I don't know what it's going to be like in heaven. I know that it's going to be good. My little mind can't even wrap around there. But I want to experience heaven in the earth.
Yes, yes.
Thy
yes.
kingdom come, thy
Jesus
will be
said.
Done on earth
come
as
on
it
now.
Is in heaven. Living
come
a victorious
now.
Life.
My God. That is so true. When we do that, man, God opens up every door to us when we, because what it is that we're longing for that type of experience from God. And remember, it comes to mind when Jesus was getting ready to raise Lazarus from the grave, when he showed up to Mary and he began to talk to them. And in John 11, I believe around verse 40, it says, and Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? Only believing. The glory, remember, glory represents the anointing. And he said, if you just believe, then he came right back and told Elizabeth. He said that if she believed, he said there shall be a performance to you if you believe. The word performance simply means a demonstration of the anointing. God has said, I'll
Amen.
Demonstrate myself through you if you only believe. My God. Why told you to open up some stuff this morning, man? My God. I love this, man. And God, he's doing it. He's doing it right now. My God. Whoa, this was awesome, man. And I just want to say to the people out there that's listening, all you have to do is position yourself in the Word. Position yourself in Him. Open your heart and ask God in and allow Him to bring you into a place to show you how victorious you truly are. Because through His
Amen.
Death, burial, and resurrection, He gave you victory. It's already yours. Mm-hmm. All he wants you to do is receive what he's already done for you. Don't look at your problem and think that you are nothing. Don't look at your place, at your house, your car. Just because your car is breaking down every day does not mean you're not victorious. It does not mean you are a failure. What it means is the enemy is trying to get you to see a different picture. And what we're saying today, we're trying to open your eyes to see the picture that God has already given you, because behind your words and your faith and what you believe, you can turn your situation around. As I said earlier, God can take your future and he can bring it right now into your now. He can invade your now with your future, and it's by your words. My God, what you want to say to the people that the last thing here says, what you got in your spirit?
I would just like to say that once again, I'm Veronica Neely Morris, the co-host of Victory Praise Radio Show, and I want to personally thank you for tuning in.
Amen. We thank God for everyone that has taken the time to tune in to us today. Now, remember, we are on every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., Tuesday and Thursday nights at 7 p.m., and on Saturdays at 10 a.m. we're on. So we're trying to bring you the Word of God, not something that are theories, but we're bringing you the truth, because we don't live off theories. We live off the full truth of the Word of God. And I also want to be the first to invite you, if you don't have a church home, we would love for you to fellowship with us. We are on every Sunday mornings and every Wednesday nights at 7:30. We would love for you to join us. Come on in and join us on those nights. You can join us on our phone line, and that phone line number is 954-395-2401. And you can go to our website. You can email me, or you can go to our website. You may already be on our website. And just look there and see what we're doing. Our code number is 596-258. That's 596-258. Send us an email if you would like, if you have a prayer request, or if you have a life-changing testimony that you would like to share. We would love to hear from you, because you may be on this broadcast along with me and Veronica. And Veronica here, and our times on Sunday mornings, we start service at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And trust me, we just teach the Word of God. We teach the Word of God. And on Wednesday nights, we are on at 7:30 p.m. We would love for you to join us. Come on in and join us and have fun with us. Have fun with the Word of God. And always remember, people of God, walk by faith and not by sight. Why? Because it's already done. And you are victorious. We love you, people of God, and we will see you again on Tuesday night here on Victory Praise Radio Broadcast. Love you, Veronica. Love you so much there. We thank God for you, sis.
Amen. Thank you.
The song, he'll be right there waiting for you.